This is another Kyle With podcast episode. Today on the show, Carl Johnston, a Fort Smith photographer, shares his passion for the Aurora, how he got started in photography, and how he's building a name for himself in the Northwest Territories. All that coming up next on the Kyle With Show. This is another episode of Kyle With's show, and today I have with me Carl Johnston out of Fort Smith, Northwest Territories, and I'll let him explain more about what he does and the photos he takes, but he is an unbelievable Aurora photographer, and that's I think how he came to be known so widely across the Northern Canada, at least. Is that correct, Carl?
Yeah, that's pretty bang on.
So how did you, how long have you been into photography?
I started photography probably early 2008. I just had a little digital point and shoot, and I basically dropped out of school and decided I'd move to the north and photograph the whole Canadian Arctic just for something to do, and that's how that started.
So where are you originally from?
I grew up here in Fort Smith about 18 years, and then I moved away to go to school. In Alberta.
So,
and came back again, traveled around a bit to BC.
So you've really only been taking photos for the last 4 years?
Yep.
So when did you actually get your first SLR camera?
I think it was late 2008.
So
early 2008.
So did you get it because you were you always primarily trying to take photos of the Aurora?
Basically I wanted to show the people of the North just how much there was to appreciate in their territory and Canada in general. When I traveled to BC, a lot of people just, when I would tell them where I'd be from, like the NWT, they'd be like, where the hell's that? You know, like, what's the NWT?
Yeah, exactly.
And even in Edmonton, like, people are like, where's Yellowknife? You know?
Oh yeah. I get that.
Crazy.
I get that all the time in Northern BC. People have no idea the concept of actually the Northwest Territories and what exactly is there and what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess we're on the same page, as we're always trying to enlighten people as to what's going on up there.
Yeah, kind of where we're from, what we got up here, the people, the culture, northern culture in general, all the natural beauty of the land, that kind of thing, the art. There's a lot up here.
There is, and a lot of time, and as photographers, we do, you guys, I'm going to group everybody I know up there that's in photography, do a great job at showcasing everything. So how did you just kind of naturally go learn about how to take photos of the Aurora, or was there somebody that inspired you, or was there someone that you kind of learned off of?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure how I got into this. All of a sudden I just picked up a camera and decided I wanted to be the best at it. So that's how that started. And then I started researching online about how to teaching myself photography, and then teaching myself about the business of photography, and mentoring with people who are already successful in fine art photography and advertising photography and everything else in general. And I basically taught myself through trial and error and talking to other people and meeting other people. Yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. So would you, there's a lot that you just mentioned there that I want to get into, but is there a couple photographers that really stick out in your mind as to who inspired you, or who kind of helped you along the way?
Yeah, there's two big photographers that helped me when I was starting out. A friend of mine, Thomas Coitis, we both taught each other. We kind of bounced ideas off each other, and then went out shooting together, and we teach each other the art of photography as we were learning, and kind of sort of like a soundboard or like a mirror. We kind of reflect off each other and teach each other. And then later on in the next couple of years, I learned a lot through a friend of mine I got in touch with in Minneapolis. His name's Andrew Thomas Evans. And he taught me a lot about how to market myself as a photographer and how to develop within the business of photography. And he's been a great asset for sure.
That's really great to hear. I think a lot of us envy that, would love to have that kind of soundboard to bounce things off, to bounce ideas off of and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's totally essential. Like for all things in general, it's always good to have someone to.
Would you say that like the accessibility of what the internet is now has really helped with that?
I'll say, especially with all the social media stuff, like it's really hard to get around the learning curve, especially with this new Google Plus and the way Facebook keeps changing and stuff. But it's definitely just like a flood of media. Like it's like we are the news outlets now, and we're the newspapers and the reporters, and everyone out there is their own individual publishing company. It's really crazy. Like the future of publishing in general, I feel, is kind of like, I don't know. It's crazy. When you think about it.
Oh, I think it's I say this when I talk in presentations, it's like word of mouth on steroids, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Things just, information is exchanged at high speed rates that half the time I can't even keep up with. And things change so quickly that if you're not paying attention, that it's already changed and gone, come and gone.
Exactly. Like I love Twitter for that. I can just go on my phone, check out Twitter, and it feels like I'm living in a scene as it's happening, no matter what it is, whether they're talking about devolution in the NWT or an earthquake in wherever, you know, you can read these updates from people live on the scene, see video and pictures. It just blows my mind how crazy that is.
That's awesome. So I remember first hearing about you when there was an article in, I don't remember what paper it was, but I remember you posting it online or something, and they gave you a title. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it King of the Aurora King or something along those lines?
Yeah, I think it was King of the Aurora. I think it was the News North or the Yellowknifer that published that in 2009.
So how did you get that that recognition originally?
I think it was through them.
So well, then, how did they find you, I guess, is what I'm going at there.
Oh, let's see. Well, in 2009, I applied to the Astronomy Photographer of the Year competition, and I got highly commended. Which is kind of like third place, I guess.
So who is that contest through?
Oh God, I think it was Sky and Night magazine. Might have to double check that. I thought it was BBC. Let's see. I'll look it up on Google right now.
Another reason the internet is amazing.
Yeah. Well, you don't know the answer, just Google it and see. National Maritime Museum. There we go.
So you didn't quite you didn't place, but that got you unbelievable recognition across the north, I think. And I think that's, well, when I first started following you, at least, was that a real key point for you? It was kind of determining the direction you were going in.
Yeah, it was kind of right out of the blue. I didn't really know much about astronomy back then. I do now. It actually kind of opened the door to that world for me.
Awesome. So now I have to confess that although I lived in the north, and I still technically live in a northern part of Canada for all my life, I only actually went out and tried to capture the aurora this past fall, or this only a couple weeks ago. Now, what tips would you say to a person that's trying to capture them? I mean, what are the basics that a person should recognize when they're trying to take a picture of the aurora borealis?
I think one of the best things to do when you're taking aurora photographs is make sure, don't follow like setting guides. Like I've had a lot of people contact me about what settings do you use, and the truth is it really varies depending on how dark it is or how light it is, or I've used exposures as quick as 1/20th of a second all the way to 60 seconds and longer, you know. But number one, try to get something creative or try to communicate. It's like with all photography, really. Try to communicate an idea or like something unique in there. Like vary your composition to include more than a line of jack pine or a road or something like that. Try to throw another element in there. Kind of like when I did... this got me a lot of recognition, not anything, no awards or anything like that, but have you seen the adventure model shot on NWT Photographer?
As we all go to Google it. I vaguely remember it, and it was with a female model, correct, sitting on a rock with the aurora in the background. Was that on the Slave River as well?
Yeah, that was taken just out of town of Fort Smith. And I want to travel the whole Canadian Arctic, really show it off with photography, my art in general, and network with other artists and models especially. So far I've done the South Slave region model and then the North Slave region, like Yellowknife in that area.
So that was so you're adding a model into showing off the natural beauty of the Northwest Territories, right?
Yep. Each kind of region has its own features. Like with the North Slave, we involved Ashley Reed, a model that I saw on Up Here's cover a while ago. She was doing this climate change modeling, bikini modeling, or something
right,
like
yes.
that.
Right. Yes. Speaking of which, I'm going to be talking with Pat Kane, who I think is one of the main photographers of that shoot.
Sweet.
I'm going to be talking to him in a couple of days, so I'm excited about that as well.
Cool. Yeah, I saw her on the cover there originally, and I thought to get in touch with her and be like, hey, do you want to be a North Slave region model? And we try to blend in elements that we find within the region or that are prominent within the region and then create this straighting camera, kind of unique human element within nature that shows off the natural beauty and the people from that region. And we thought she'd be a good representative for that.
It's an awesome idea because I don't think it's ever actually been done in such a way, because you're basically showing off a person, but you're also showing off the natural beauty of the territory. And it's just adding two very different, or not very different, but two different styles of photography and putting them together and making beautiful shots of that. So it's not many people are doing that. So I commend you on doing that. So
thanks.
I was going down a train of thought here, so then I forgot. But how did you start to market yourself? Like I vaguely remember you built your website, and how did you start getting your art out there so that other people could see it when this was starting to pick up in 2009 or 2010 or whenever?
That's a good question. Trial and error, mostly. Kind of the shotgun method. Try a whole bunch of things and throw a whole bunch of things at the wall to see what works and what doesn't and what slides off too soon and what sticks.
So what are some of the things that work? Like, did you try contacting galleries right away? Were you posting stuff online, or what were you doing? Or what do you do, I guess, to promote your work?
Right now, mostly through social media. We also do... we've got the studio space in town where we sell some of my work out of, and then local gift shops, and then in Yellowknife, I'm at Down to Earth Gallery. I will be at 47th Street Gallery, hopefully.
Awesome.
Tweecho online store. We recently sent some prints out there. There's Northern Images, too. And mostly I sell my stuff through the retail locations, the galleries. People often, they see my work anywhere, and they're like... can I come over and take a look at some of the prints that I've got in my inventory? I find a lot of it is just personal word of mouth marketing. I really love meeting the people who buy my stuff. Like, I love talking to them and knowing, getting to know them and why it appeals to them. And I've had calls from people, and I go over there maybe about 11 o'clock at night even, and then we talk to like 3 or 4 in the morning over beer, just thinking and talking about the work and their experiences in the North. I've met people from all over the place, like all over the country. They see my work online and they travel up to the North, or they want to. I get maybe about half a dozen emails a month from people from all over the show. It's crazy.
Wow. Now I've talked to some photographers, and they say that they have a hard time actually like selling their prints and creating revenue from that. So they often do portrait shoots for families and for anyone who needs them to create the revenue. And then they do their hobby photography on the side, which is still really creative. Now, you say that you sell a lot of your prints. Is that your main revenue generator when it comes to photography, or do you have to do some of these portrait shoots with families and with people and such like that?
Truthfully, you got to diversify as much as you can. If you want to make it a full-time thing, like I've been doing for the past 2 years, it's, I do all kinds of things. Like I'll do advertising, or advertising for someone's bed and breakfast, put it on a website. We'll do video. Nothing hardcore like doing a DVD series or anything like that. But
just general commercial photography's helped you out?
Yeah, weddings, portraits. We're going to do a mail drop pretty soon, advertising the portrait in the studio, back-to-school photography, weddings in the South Slave and the North Slave region.
Awesome. So
those are huge revenue generators. But mostly the art, honestly.
Yeah, it's actually surprising to hear that, and it's great to hear that, considering that I think is one of your primary things you like doing. So,
for sure, yeah.
Do you find having the studio really helps with all that stuff? Like, could you do what you're doing without the studio?
It'd be very difficult in the winter, but yeah, I don't want to deal with that minus 40 Celsius and trying to get the flashes to get the flashes to fire on time. That'd be kind of definitely the studio helps just as an outlet for to sell the work out of in general. There's like a coffee shop at the front, and it's not owned by myself. I just rent it from the owners.
Yeah,
but it provides like a warm space to set up a backdrop or like a green screen, and then get people's portraits or whatever they want done in there, headshots and that kind of thing.
Awesome. So switching gears a little bit, what do you find most difficult about photography? What is one of the challenges that you encounter or that you're constantly trying to overcome? Or even, actually, yeah, go ahead. And what are those challenges?
That's a good question. I think the biggest challenge is the unpredictability of photography, like professional photography. You don't know, or I don't know, where my income's coming from in 3 months. But you kind of, at the same time, that's part of the appeal of it, is because it's so random and so sporadic. I don't know if that's a real word. I'm going to have to look that up on Google later, sporadic.
No, sporadic's a word, whatever. I believe. I'm not the greatest at spelling or grammar, but I believe that's a word.
Yeah, I wasn't very good at English in school, geez.
Yeah, well, we both dropped out of school. What more can we say? Oh, now I lost
it's the inner entrepreneur in us.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we seem to be making it all right, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, there we go.
Do you ever? I have the problem where I often don't feel that my photography is very good, and I'm very hard on myself. Did you have that at all, or do you still have that kind of feeling?
For sure. Yeah. Honestly, I take a look at all the work that I've created, maybe every other week, and I'm like, this is crap. I want to do it all again, or get rid of my hard drives and then just really pour into that. But that would be kind of crazy. I feel like I quit, or I try to quit photography 4 times a year. I could go through this thing where, oh, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to be a carpenter. I'm going to be a baker. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to be a teacher, go back to school. And then I just, all of a sudden, something happens and I fall back within it.
No, that's good. I think you're doing everybody a favor and staying in it, because we all enjoy looking at your work. You actually started doing more panoramic shots, which I'm curious about, because panoramic shots confuse me even more than just normal photography. So how is that something you did as a hobby-wise, or how do you actually do that stuff?
I just kind of got into it. I figured I could increase the resolution of my prints without buying huge megapixel cameras by pasting multiple shots and digitally stitching them together, so, and then forming giant prints of them.
So on let's say the shot of the waterfalls, because it's the one I remember in my head. I'm not sure which waterfalls it is or where it is, but how many shots on average do you take for one of those images?
Between 6 and 15.
And do you use a special tripod head for that, so you can keep
it? Oh, no, it's really funny, actually. I got this Manfrotto, oh, God, what is this? Like a 190CX or a 055B123, whatever, anyway. And I have this really cheap head. It's just, it's supposed to hold 2 or 3 pounds max, but I got maybe 8 pounds or whatever on there the whole time. And over the past couple winters, I've been using this, and it's just a small little ball head. I've been using this and tilting it around, going up, down, fast moving it, and then going from really tight to really loose, really quick. And I don't know, I did something to it, and I stripped the screw that attaches to the center column, so it's totally fused on there now. And every now and again, the camera kind of threatens to fall over, and so I keep the fall off the tripod. I keep the ribbon, or what is it called, the neck support thing, the neck rope,
sure,
around my neck when I've got it on the tripod. So it's not the best setup, but
so what you're saying is if anybody out there has a tripod, to send it to you because you need a new one.
Yeah, I've been waiting for about 8 weeks for a replacement center column now.
Uh-oh.
It's so, biggest struggle I have like recently is getting around, but dealing with the shipping costs of stuff and the wait times of stuff to the north. Like if someone wants to like build a shipping company and have stuff here within 3 days, that would be a great help.
So,
for half the price, that'd be awesome.
So on that topic, like how does that, do you do a lot of canvas prints?
Not really. I don't find them very popular, but I like them personally. I think
so. Where do you get your prints done up then?
We do them here, or then we ship them. We ship them out.
So
we've also got. We've been doing these interesting murals recently, and I call them murals, but really what they're doing is they copy my prints onto these. I don't even know what the material is offhand, but it's like this giant. How to put it? It's like this giant mounting board, and they seal my print onto this this mounting board, and it stands maybe about 8 feet wide or 5 feet high. We had a couple put on the MP's building, Dennis Bennington's building.
Oh yeah,
and that was printed by Mercury Sign Art and Ford Smith. They did a really good job with that. But a lot of people have been contacting me about putting them up the side of their building, and. We had that award-winning shot. It got silver merit for fourth place in the Epson International Panel Awards. We had that put on the side of the building. I'm going to have to look up what the process is called again. I can't remember offhand. But you can see that on the NWT photographer site, like on the right-hand picture. There's,
what is the domain for that site?
Oh, it's nwtphotographer.com.
Good. So everybody can check it out, nwtphotographer.com. So do you find that the cost of your prints when you sell them is really affected by that shipping? I mean, I guess people don't necessarily have the option to go somewhere else, but
yeah.
Do you have to raise your price up quite a bit for getting those prints done?
Yeah, what I take to doing now is combining the shipping price within my regular price rather than I used to put the real cost of shipping on the site, but I would get some angry emails about that. You know, people don't really believe that it's $150 to ship to Vancouver, but believe it or not.
They don't know where you are, so they can't judge.
I shipped two prints to Yellowknife just today, and it was $78. It was
crazy.
Wow,
that's, considering that's a direct flight or it's not a very far drive, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, it was only like 20 by 26 inches too. Something like that. It's pretty small. I ship them flat usually.
Yeah. So I have to ask one more question back to the panoramic shots. What do you use to stitch all the photos together?
Usually I shoot them all in RAW and then I paste them together in CS4 Photoshop.
Awesome. So I think we're winding down here now. I like to ask people what this question, because I am always curious about what they shoot with and what they like. So what is your, what brand do you shoot? Yeah. What's your weapon of choice, basically, body, and what are your favorite lenses?
I got the Canon 5D Mark II, and most of my shots were done with the Tokina 11-16 2.8.
Oh, I love that lens.
It's not supposed to be put on a full frame camera, but we do it anyway. It doesn't hit the mirror as far as I know. I'm not really sure. Don't quote me on that. Nobody try that in case it messes it up. But yeah, we've been using this 11-16 Tokina. It's an amazing lens. Like the autofocus works.
Oh yeah,
it's great for video.
That was what I used for my Aurora shot, and that's what actually I use for all my commercial real estate shots. Is I love that lens.
Yeah, it's an amazing one. It's only like $600 too, or $500.
It's really well, it's cheap. Come down quite a bit too. So it's just
which the other is one all... I use is the 21 Carl Zeiss 2.8, which is modified for the Canon mount. They released it in, I think, 2010.
Interesting.
It was a really sexy lens. It's like carbon jet black, and it's got the smoothest focus. It's manual focus, though. There's no autofocus, but it's so sharp. It's crazy.
It's awesome. So you are basically everywhere on the social media stuff. You have your Facebook page, and which is
I'm trying to learn as much as I can about that, but I'm no
hey no worries. I mean, I'm just going to take a look at it right now, and
I've been getting into Google Plus a lot too. It's crazy. Like 400 people circled me last night. So. Oh,
yeah, when it went public, it went pretty popular pretty quickly. And for photographers, it is like the most amazing thing that I have ever come across, because I have those circles and I can just sit there and go through and I can see all the metadata for all these photos, and I can kind of helps me learn anyways.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think there's nothing but photographers on here. That's all I've seen so far.
Yeah, that's pretty, and I think that might be a problem for it, because it may run pretty bare without any other substance in it. But for now, it's awesome for photographers. But people can like your Facebook page. Now, you have Carl Johnston Photography, which you have over 1,000 people liking your page, and you do your daily updates with the stuff, and looks like you share photos on there. But you've recently started NWT Photographer. What is the separation there?
That's one of the things I talked about with a few guys about what I should do with X. It's very hard to support yourself as just an artist. So you need to diversify a little bit. And that's like the portrait and the wedding stuff. And I decided to make it into a separate brand that targets a separate market, really. I don't want to put it all under one thing, because I feel it could get a bit cluttered. And I also think a lot of the clients attracting to that are different from the kind of clients that are attracting to my artwork. So I thought it would be best to kind of split it up. I'm still trying to understand how to blend that in with the social media and marketing, whether I should keep it all in one group or separate it completely.
So do you not?
So far it seems to be working okay.
You don't have a page for NWT Photographer?
I do, yep.
Oh, you can. So people should search for NWT Photographer and Carl Johnston Photography and like both those pages?
I just search for Carl Johnston, just K-A-R-L-J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N.
I'll link it in the show notes for those photo. Who are wondering.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. That might be easier.
I have your Carl Johnston ones, the NWT blogger one I can't find. But otherwise, you are on Twitter at Carl Johnston, same spelling again. There, and I guess you're on Google Plus, which is just your name again. So
yeah, you can just Google me, you'll find all kinds of these networks. I think Google Plus has got a whole melange of them, like 500 pics and Flickr.
Yeah, you're doing a good job at sharing your stuff, which is great. I love it when photographers share their stuff and also share insights into what they're doing and the photos that they're taking to it really personalizes the brand and really brings people in.
For sure.
I see other photographers, they just post a link to their gallery on their website, and that drives me wild, because I don't know who this photographer is. I don't know their personality. I don't know if I'd ever want to work with them. So
it kind of goes back to what I was talking about with what made me so successful with selling my prints is being really personal with people and getting to know them. And I really genuinely want to get to know the people that are viewing me and see what they like and what they don't like and learn their stories. I think everybody's their own separate publishing company, you know, like everybody's their own separate author or book. It's getting kind of philosophical now, but
no, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do with the podcast too, is I don't care who you are, what you do. Like I'm talking to a lot of photographers, but if anybody doing anything interesting interests me, I want the average person to share their story and share what they're passionate about. So that's why I love social media and because people get a chance to do that.
I think it's a lot about, especially in photography and business in general, is a lot about meeting other people in your network and branching out and diversifying and finding other things to talk about, other things you can work together on. That's a lot of what I do, is collaborate with a whole bunch of other businesses, a whole bunch of other artists. I've been marketing Page and Volt's work, which is a guy I met in 2010 who does these really cool chalk paintings with, he grinds up chalk and then he puts it all over a board and then he forms these beautiful paintings or drawings, I guess. And I sell his prints off my website. If you just go on the gallery section, you should be able to find his own gallery. And
awesome. So carljohnston.com and nwtphotographer.com. Carl, once again, thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure talking to you again. I know I don't think we've talked since the Snow King Festival in Yellowknife maybe 2 years ago, so it's been a while.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Lots has changed.
Yeah, so thank you once again for coming on, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to The Kyle With Show. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes by searching Kyle With or by going to kylewith.com/podcast. If you know someone who can be on the show or yourself, doesn't matter if you're into photography or anything, as long as you're doing something interesting and are willing to share, I'd love to talk to you. Please email me at kyle@kylewith.com or on any social network at Kyle With or Kyle With on Facebook. We'll talk to you later.